Built into a cliff face and looking out across the sea from which its contents are derived and inspired, the Oceanographic Museum of Monaco was founded in 1910 by Prince Albert I of Monaco and housed the specimens he collected for study and research on 28 expeditions across the North Atlantic and Mediterranean between 1885 and 1915. As well as presenting natural history specimens, live animals displayed in aquaria, and the tools of the oceanographer's trade, this temple of the sea also realised its founder's vision to gather together what he claimed were, quote, the two driving forces of civilization, art and science.
Could you make a little, speak a little louder?
Oh, sorry, of course. A vision renewed in 2010 when the museum celebrated its centenary with the inauguration of a contemporary art programme. In line with the museum's mission to promote knowing, loving and protecting the oceans, and the founding prince's desire to see art, science and nature displayed side by side, the museum presented two exhibitions relating to shark conservation between 2013 and 2015. Sharks are a thrilling experience, and the contemporary art exhibition on sharks and humanity. Presented in and amongst the existing museum displays, the two exhibitions ran concurrently for a year, and with no rigid boundaries demarcating them, permitted visitors the fluid experience of moving between the various displays and artworks included in these two exhibitions. This paper examines how human-shark relations were articulated through these exhibitions, reflecting on how the Oceanographic Museum of Monaco sought to promote shark protection amongst its visitors, together with the limits of this approach. I would suggest that the exhibitions appear to assimilate the wildness of sharks in order to evoke empathy, but will argue that a certain sense of wonder at the wildness is also necessary for the development of an ethical sensibility, observing where this arose in relation to sharks during these exhibitions. Each year, 100 million sharks are killed as a result of being caught as bycatch, tangled in fishing nets, or through the controversial practice of shark finning, in which the fins are cut from live sharks for use in luxury cuisine, with current figures stating that 73 million of the sharks killed at the hands of humans meet this particular fate. Exacerbating the vulnerability of sharks in the face of depleting numbers is their slow maturity, long gestation periods, and the fact they produce few offspring. As a result, according to the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species, a quarter of shark and ray species are threatened with extinction. As a keystone species, shark are essential for maintaining the equilibrium of marine ecosystems, and as such, the reduction or eradication of sharks from the oceans will have serious and detrimental effects. Sharks are a thrilling experience aimed to raise awareness of the serious threats facing sharks, and the contemporary art exhibition on sharks and humanity was conceived with the overtly political aim of encouraging shark protection, specifically ending the consumption of shark fin soup, featuring work by 10 contemporary Chinese artists in recognition of China as the largest consumer of shark fin. Curator Huang Du identified artist Joseph Boy's concept of social sculpture, the power of art to transform society, as an informing concept for this exhibition. For Boy's, social sculpture referred to the way we mould and shape the world in which we live, and that to realise its potential to transform society, everyone must be an artist. This ideology was embedded in Boy's work as a teacher, founding member of the German Green Party, and as an artist. And in his open attitude to what sculpture could be, Boy also included the way words and thoughts are formed. It is on this level that On Sharks and Humanity can be conceived in terms of social sculpture, since the exhibition sought to bring about social change, shifting perceptions and behaviours towards sharks by encouraging visitors, as stated in the exhibition interpretation text, to take action through thought, dialogue, discussion and exchange as a result of encounters with artworks which commented on human-shark relations and challenged existing perceptions of these creatures. The two shark exhibitions at the Oceanographic Museum of Monaco therefore sought to promote shark conservation, but also recognised that in order to do so, any negative public perceptions of and attitudes towards these creatures needed to be challenged and changed. But what issues and myths perpetuate difficult human-shark relations, and how did these exhibitions attempt to counter them? Often portrayed as ruthless killers terrorising swimmers and thrillers instilling horror in the wake of attacks, Sharks have acquired a fearful reputation as man-eaters, despite the statistically minor threat they pose to humans. Viewed throughout history as the menaces of the ocean, sharks have been tarred in the West by their apparent taste for human blood. Tales abound about slave ships followed across seas by opportunist sharks waiting for brave individuals to make a break for their escape, shipwrecked sailors meeting their fate at the jaws of these creatures, and frightening encounters between sharks, surfers, and swimmers in more recent news stories. Over the years, popular culture has done little to stymie this attitude towards sharks, actively exploiting their perceived threat in numerous films to send chills and thrills through viewers. Most famously in Steven Spielberg's eponymous Jaws, based on Peter Benchley's 1974 novel of the same title. Whilst the media and popular culture often proliferate fearsome views of sharks as man-eaters, the reality is in fact quite to the contrary. As a statistic used in the 2006 documentary Sharkwater suggested, soda pop machines kill more people than sharks do. Indeed, sharks are thrilling experience, aim to dispel the myths of sharks as man-eaters with a display of a large sculptural mobile, which comprise three-dimensional teardrops scaled proportionally to the number of human deaths brought about by sharks, just 10 per year, in comparison to other creatures such as mosquitoes, 800,000 per year, and human-related activities such as traffic accidents, 1.2 million per year. The display highlighted the discrepancy between perceptions of the dangers sharks present to humans and the statistical reality, revealing humans, not sharks, to be humanity's own worst enemy. A video work by the artist Wen Fen, presented as part of On Sharks and Humanity, also challenged the view of sharks as vicious or man-eating. The body in the sharks showed the artist swimming in the enclosed space of a 10-metre cube tank along with three sharks, which swam in and out of shot throughout the duration of the piece. The presence of the artist's naked body alongside these widely viewed fearsome predators, who appeared to accept Fen's presence readily and passively in the confined space of the tank, serves to illustrate the minor threat sharks pose to humans. And whilst the artist's nudity contributed to his perceived vulnerability in this situation, it also served to echo the ecological fragility of the sharks themselves. Many of the icons of conservation are mammals, possessing cute near-tenous appearances, which permits a biophilic identification, enabling humans to extend empathy and compassion towards creatures more readily, as has been argued to be the case with giant pandas, for instance. As such, several exhibits and artworks in these two exhibitions sought to temper the fearsome reputations of sharks by softening their physical appearances. For instance, a huge digital display in Sharks of Berlin Experience presented life-size animations of swimming sharks, illustrated in a quirky cartoon style, exhibiting a form of what has been termed bambification, with rounded infantile features that primatologist and ethologist Franz de Waal, amongst others, suggested is designed to, quote, evoke endearment and protectiveness. Indeed, this tactic has been embraced by other shark conservation campaigns, with the shark defenders creating the character Shark Stanley, a hammerhead who, along with his illustrated friends, is used to promote shark protection and is even photographed alongside various human ambassadors to raise awareness of the various plights facing sharks. A similar exercise in taming the appearance of sharks could be seen in Evolution, a sculpture presented as part of On Sharks and Humanity that depicted a shark in highly polished metal with the rainbow iridescence of oil, which dissolved into a fancy goldfish at the tail end. The work suggests that we might feel more compelled to protect sharks if we render them more typically beautiful, additionally taming the shark by aligning it with a domesticated fantail goldfish. Shark researcher Rick Martin noted that, quote, so long as we fear sharks from a position of ignorance and superstition, these magnificent animals will continue to inhabit a shadowy realm beyond human compassion and protection, something the Oceanographic Museum of Monaco strived to mitigate against through various exhibits in Sharks of Thrilling Experience, educating visitors about sharks to render these creatures more familiar and, by extension, less fearful. For instance, viewers of the museum's aquarium could observe the behaviour of 30 live sharks from 7 species, watching them swim peacefully amongst the aquarium's other creatures, posing no immediate threat. a shark petting pool in the form of a transparent waist-height tank, which was inhabited by three species of sharks, permitted visitors to stroke these creatures as they exited the exhibition, offering the opportunity to interact with live sharks, and furthermore, develop a relationship with specific individuals rather than under the catch-all banner sharks. Another interactive display featured specimens of shark teeth and skin, which invited visitors to explore these specimens through touch, offering an understanding of these creatures through their tactile as well as visual qualities. The display revealed information about sharks not accessible through sight alone, such as the complex structure of shark skin, which is covered with pointed denticles to streamline the surface of the shark's body to ease its passage through water. As such, visitors became more aware and familiar of what at first glance appeared as otherworldly characteristics of sharks. Sharks are predominantly cold-blooded creatures, with life worlds, physiologies, and habitats difficult for humans to relate to. Indeed, the physical difference and geographic distance of sea creatures from humans makes it perhaps more difficult to empathise with and extend compassion towards them. Since sharks live underwater, have bodies formed from cartilage rather than bone, breathe through gills, occasionally cannibalise their siblings in utero, and have been known to reproduce through parthenogenesis, they're clearly vastly different from humans. The implication being that these differences make it more difficult to empathise with sharks. As such, on two occasions during the course of the shark exhibitions, an apparent attempt was made to reduce this distance between humans and sharks. Firstly, an image of the shark petting pool that featured in numerous communications developed by the museum shows a woman stroking a shark, her body visually merging into the tail end of this aquatic creature so that she appears as a kind of shark-tailed mermaid. This image can be read as a metaphor for the museum's attempts to blur the boundary between sharks and humans in order that it becomes easier to relate to and empathise with these creatures. Secondly, the net by Wang Liyan was a huge stainless steel site-specific installation in the form of a green fishing net, which shrouded the entrance hall of the museum during On Sharks and Humanity, surrounding visitors on all sides. Conceived by the artist as an attempt to place the human in the position of a shark caught in a fishing net, the hope was that the visitor would understand such an ecological detrimental human activity from the perspectives of sharks and empathise with these creatures, extending compassion towards them as a result. The work functioned on the basis of a sense of applied anthropomorphism, as conceived by Randall Lockwood, in which, quote, we use our own personal perspective on what it is like to be a living being to suggest ideas about what it is like to be some other being of either our own or other species, end quote. In doing so, the work demanded that viewers draw on their own experience of being human in order to imagine what it would be like for a shark when caught in this scenario, empathising with the creature as a result. It has been suggested that anthropomorphism can facilitate empathy, since as a result, it becomes easier to extend compassion towards non-human animals if we can relate to them as in some way like ourselves. In this way, using anthropomorphism to render sharks more familiar to humans seems to be one way the Oceanographic Museum of Monaco tried to compel their visitors to reconsider their attitudes towards sharks and drive them to act towards their conservation. The various displays, artworks, and encounters with live sharks in the two shark exhibitions at the Oceanographic Museum of Monaco aim to neutralise any fear or trepidation visitors might have initially experienced in close proximity to these creatures, challenging any preconceptions about sharks and striving to render these creatures less fearful and more familiar, even aiming on occasion to reduce the differences between humans and sharks so that empathy could be more readily elicited. As such, it was easier for the museum to harness the emotions to effect a change in attitude towards sharks. Film footage projected during the exhibition showed various threats facing sharks, including the practice of thinning, the aim being to render visitors acutely aware of the reality of human treatment towards sharks. Furthermore, artworks in On Sharks and Humanity also worked towards appealing to the emotions of visitors. Yu Yang's Enlightenment, for instance, was a contorted shark body comprised entirely of harpoon spears suspended from the ceiling. The posture of the shark suggested the creature to be in the throes of death, which together with these lethal spearheads underlines the violence enacted towards these creatures by humans. Communities living in close proximity to sharks find ways to tame and explain these creatures through stories, rituals, and myths that bring sharks closer to humans and render them more familiar. In such instances, sharks are considered variously as ancestors, gods, and even shapeshifters in stories where men and women become shark and sharks become human, breeding respect towards these animals in an attempt to promote harmonious coexistence between sharks and humans in communities reliant upon the sea for their survival. Through sharks' thrilling experience and on sharks and humanity, the Oceanographic Museum of Monaco used similar strategies to render their visitors more sympathetic to the perils facing sharks and act towards their conservation. In the first instance, the exhibition sought to make sharks familiar to visitors through various sensorial engagements and to soften the fearsome appearances and reputations of these creatures. In the second instance, the exhibition sought to dispel myths surrounding sharks, compelling viewers to reconsider their attitudes and relationships towards these creatures, while simultaneously attempting to evoke empathy and compassion by bringing sharks closer to humans, both physically and in the imagination. As such, many of the resulting exhibits and artworks mentioned in this paper had the effect of domesticating and taming sharks to achieve this. Indeed, Steve Baker has suggested that the wildness of creatures is threatened with being tamed when presented in the domesticated setting of the museum or gallery space. And since representations of sharks at the Oceanographic Museum of Monaco work towards breeding familiarity and alluding to similarities between sharks and humans, and encounters with live sharks occurred via the petting pool and the aquarium, both of which offered mediated encounters of captive sharks presented in human-constructed habitats, any sense of wildness these creatures might wield was negated in this context. In light of this, it is interesting to observe that philosopher Marguerite Lacaz has suggested we need generosity predicated upon a recognition of the similarity of others and a wonder based on a recognition of difference in order to cultivate a foundation for ethics. Whilst the two shark exhibitions appear to harness generosity based on familiarity and similarity, what about a wonder based on difference? As well as eliciting fear, sharks equally inspire leagues of tourists in aquaria around the world, command awe from underwater adventurers seeking thrilling close encounters from the safety of shark cages, and fascinate through their otherworldly lives in wildlife documentaries such as the recent BBC series Sharks. This recent series of documentaries revealed numerous fascinating aspects of sharks to the general viewing public, such as the epaulette shark's ability to use its fins to walk out of water across exposed reefs to access rock pools. It is these fascinating behaviours and otherworldly qualities of sharks which can exude non-human charisma, something geographer Jamie Lorimer recognised can equally lead to a desire for conservation, which in the case of the shark, I want to suggest stems from its wildness. This wildness, I would like to understand, following Jane Bennett's reading of Henry Thoreau as, quote, the unexplored potential always left over from even the most reflective and relentless exploration, the difference of the woods that remains no matter how many times he, Thoreau, walks them, the difference never bridged between two friends, no matter how familiar and intimate, end quote. In essence, this wildness recognises and respects difference, and furthermore offers the opportunity for wonder since this wildness resists assimilation into our knowledge. Indeed, the wildness of sharks is recognised by oceanographer Philippe Cousteau, who, in a book written with his father, the former director of the Oceanographic Museum of Monaco, Jacques-Yves Cousteau, explained that the shark moves through my universe like a marionette whose strings are controlled by someone other than the power-manipulating mind. He seems to come from another planet, and in fact he does come from another time. He has not evolved since his beginning, more than 100 million years ago. His actions have no logic, and yet he's perfectly adapted to his life. Or perhaps the reverse is true, and his order, his logic, is simply not the same as mine. It is interesting, then, in the context of these two shark exhibitions, to turn to artist Lou Zinning's two large paintings of close-up views of the eyes of sharks. In these works, viewers confront the shark's outward gaze, looking into a single eye to engage in a way usually prohibitive when the shark lies deep below the surface of the sea. The titles of these paintings were evocative, Us, suggesting a shared kinship between sharks and humans, and Looking at Me, Looking at You, the latter evoking both Jacques Derrida's discomfort of finding himself naked and ashamed under the gaze of his pet cat, and unable to imagine how he himself might be viewed by the absolute alterity of this animal other, and John Berger's suggestion that humans and non-human animals regard one another across an abyss of non-comprehension. Denis' paintings, therefore, whilst remaining representations, force us to consider being looked at from an other than human perspective, and the ultimate unknowability of what this is like from the shark's perspective, or perhaps following Thomas Nagel of what it is like for a shark to be a shark. This leaves room for wonder at the wildness, the difference of these creatures, especially taking into account sight is not the sense privileged by sharks, who are more likely to feel or smell our human presence before seeing us, whilst nevertheless indicating a potential kinship that might occur at the point of contact where sharks meet humanity.